Hello, it's Kathy Love here. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. So no big surprise at all, I like to talk a lot. And now I can share some of the incredible people who crossed my path and the interesting conversations that we have. The Private Practice Secrets podcast is all about harnessing and sharing this collective business know-how, the experience, and the wisdom. My guests are amazing. They're bold, they're brave, and they're honest. There are laughs, and surprisingly, there's often talk of wine. We think you're really going to enjoy these unplugged private practice chats. So come on in, pull up a chair, let's get the conversation started. Hello, hello, Kate. Are you good to go?
I'm good to go.
Lovely, lovely. Well, as I was preparing for our conversation, it did occur to me that this is one of the first conversations we've ever had that doesn't have wine involved.
This will be interesting to see whether our brains actually do work.
What's left over? And I guess my greatest fear is that is the sort of introduction I'll be giving to many of the people that are joining my podcast. It just seems to be a bit of a thing. Work hard and play hard is one of my mottos. So, Kate, I'm absolutely delighted that you can join us, and I probably need to spill the beans that we're quite good mates in the small business world, and we've done some training together, and we hold each other's hands to cross the road when it's one of those days.
Yes, and we wipe each other's tears, everything in between.
So what I'm absolutely delighted about for you is your book, and I gave it a speed read. And then last week, you know, those cold days, no, it must have been further back, the cold days after Christmas, I sat and read it, and I didn't go A to Z because that just felt too obvious, and I sort of knew that you wanted me to do that, but I've jumped in and out, and there may even be a couple of letters that I've missed, but for me, I just read this, and I thought, I want to give this to every person on my mailing list, every private practitioner who is out there and not quite sure what customer service is. So I'm going to throw the talking stick to you to introduce yourself in terms of the amazingness you do now. And then if you could just have a little soapbox about your book, I think that would be a great place to start.
Thank you. I'll appreciate that opportunity. Well, my business is Lightbulb Training Solutions. So what I'm passionate about is making sure that people in a workplace go to work not only to earn, but to also learn things that are useful, not just for the workplace, but in their life. The reason that I started Lightbulb Training Solutions back in 2010 was because I'd had some pretty horrible workplace experiences, and it was related to mainly difficulties with customers, whether we call them customers or clients. It's just the people that come and use your business, use your services, and also with co-workers. And it was when I finally worked out the things that I didn't know, which is tough to find out along the way, I worked out that, you know what, work can be fun, work can be enjoyable, and when you have people around you that love doing it as well, everything can change. But you need to get a few skills to turn into what I now call a customer service professional. So the business has been up and running for coming to its seventh year now. I launched my book, The A to Z of Service Excellence, in October last year, and I began writing it with the intent of doing it not like a training manual, because I write those all the time and I specialise in service excellence. That's what I train in. I wanted it to more be a story. I wanted it more to be where I've been, where I messed up, where I made mistakes, how I learnt how to do things more, better, different or less, and essentially where I'm at today, which is going into businesses and helping them create teams of customer service professionals. And yes, the book is the A to Z, but deliberately written so that you don't have to go ploughing through from chapter A to Z. You can pick it up, look through the index, think about what's going on in your world or your business at the time, and choose the topic that is relevant to the time.
Yeah, absolutely love it. It would have been really fabulous as me as a host to actually mention the name of your title. So well done, Kate, for actually mentioning that. What is hilarious, and I'm laughing at myself, is I'm holding it up to the screen, but that's no good either, is it? So,
okay, I'll let you in on a secret. I did exactly the same thing. I'm showing you as I'm talking.
I know, and I'm holding it, and I'm flipping through the pages, and it just has only just dawned on me that listeners can't see it. So it's a beautiful blue book with a hilariously big and controversial exclamation mark, and the title of Kate's book is The A to Z of Service Excellence. Now, Kate, what I think you may have sitting in your amazing knowledge bank is the fact that you have worked in disability services and you've also seen that self-employment piece and that small business piece and that disability, you know, piece. So that sort of perfect storm. And I'm wondering off the top of your head, which elements in your book are particularly relevant for some of my clients? You've met quite a few of my tribe with some of the forum that you presented at. So which bits bubble to the surface and shout the loudest for must-haves for private practitioners?
Okay. Look, I think the first thing that your private practitioners need to know is the book is written for the people in the workplace that directly interact with the external customers. So if you're a manager of a team, this book is great for you to give to your team. It's also full of incredible insights for you as the business owner or the operator, or if you're a solopreneur. But essentially, it's written for those people on the front line, so for your admin and all of that. But the areas that it covers, because every chapter, all of the chapters have an action at the end of each chapter, I think are relevant to disability across the board. So I spent 4 years in Adelaide as a person who knocked on an employer's door and said, could you please offer an employment opportunity for somebody with a barrier to employment? So age groups would obviously work age from 16 and up. So there's insights in there as to what employers are looking for, but there's also insights into what, as someone who case manages a group of people, and these people come with parents and friends and advocates and supporters, and it's managing all their different needs using your soft skills to do it really, really well. So the book is all about your soft skills. It's not a book about how to do a database or how to do processes and procedures. It's all about interacting with people. So with people with disabilities, your lovely people, your tribe, have fantastic skills in understanding all the various challenges. This book is about understanding how you can communicate to their parents, how you can delight those people. So although there's not, you know, absolute chapters that go, yeah, this is disability, I cover quite a bit actually in the book about understanding differences. And I'm hopeful to have you, lovely Kathy, podcasting for me to talk about how people's differences aren't just difficulties, they're purely differences, and we just have to work with those differences. Some of the parents or some of the friends that you work with or your co-workers, they'll have differences too. I think everyone's got a disability. It's just that some of it is visual and some of it isn't. We've all got differences. So the book is about respect, it's about understanding and doing it from a point of view of building your business so that everybody wants to refer business to you, so that you can make sure that you're actually providing brilliant outcomes by being the best that you can be.
Yeah, you posted a great blog across the end of last year about differences. I think I reshared it somewhere on LinkedIn or social. So I will go and dig that up and have a read. It was that lovely storytelling style that you have in terms of experience, but what the experience really illustrates. So that was a nice reminder.
The NDIS, when they had three fabulous people speaking about their sporting achievements as Olympians. Is that the one?
Yeah.
And they're in wheelchairs. It was great. Great talk.
Thank you. So what I didn't know until I met you was this soft skills, hard skills bit. Mm. And why that resonated with me was that when I had my business, I soon realized that I needed to be recruiting for something more than really strong technical skills. And I started to realize that I could teach people the technical skills that they wanted to have and that I perhaps wanted them to have as well. But there was this other sort of special source that some people call it intuition. It's called all sorts of things, and more people are writing and commenting about it. But I wonder if you could kind of throw a bit more light on that for me in terms of what those soft skills and those personable skills are, because I'm sliding my hands around in the air and sort of doing squishy movements because it's really hard to encapsulate, it is the absolute secret source of recruitment. What are your thoughts? You know what I mean, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I didn't get it either until I was probably, I spent 18 years working in banking and no one had ever said to me there was such a thing as hard skills and soft skills. And yet when I look back, it's very clear I was given a lot of hard and soft skill training in banking. You might not believe it with banking the way it is today, but the difference is your hard skills are not hard meaning difficult. Hard skills mean that there is an absolute set of steps or things you can learn, and once you have put those steps in place, you would potentially be deemed competent in a particular task. So, for example, driving a car is a hard skill. It's not hard difficult, although I think for some people it is, but it's more about, you know, you turn the key in ignition, you use the accelerator, you do all the steps, you'll go forward, you'll park, you'll reverse, and then you will be given a license. You've proven you can do that task. Your soft skills are not soft meaning easy, they're soft meaning pliable, and it's how you can adapt your behaviour to not only get the best out of other people, but to also be able to inspire people, motivate people, in some cases delegate things, in other cases discipline. So it's how you actually communicate and how you read other people. So soft skills, also another term that's used a lot finally in business. It took a long time to come to the fore. Probably in the last decade, it's really talked about as emotional intelligence. And EQ, which is what your emotional intelligence is all about how you self-assess. Are you self-aware? Can you read other people? Can you adjust your behavior to suit your surroundings? And how are you at socializing? So that's why my book is all about service excellence, because evidence has shown, research has shown, and my years of over 30 years experience working in businesses selling stuff is I always sold more when I focused on my soft skills and my service skills. So sales come from providing excellent service, and customer service professionals have excellent soft skills.
Yeah, that is a great way of describing it. And with some of my clients, we've actually sort of developed some checklists and some things to look out for. Most of them are positive, but it's also really interesting to kind of be available in that interview moment, if you like, to actually think, ooh, that wasn't comfortable, or that was unexpected, or gosh, that part of the answer was surprising. And often we're a little bit anxious when we're doing some of that interviewing, and we sort of think, oh well, it wasn't anything. But the more I heard you take an intake of breath then, Kate, the more you do that interviewing, the more you actually need to really tune into that those moments, because they can be quite telling later on. I wasn't really planning on asking you this, but, and this is something I just do not know enough about, and you really need to talk me through this, but you do a whole lot of profiling, don't you?
Yeah, look, I use behavioral profiling. I use it for one part of my business is if I'm going to work closely with an individual or a group, I use, and a lot of people have heard of what's called DISC profiling. It's been around for years, and it's also got many different variations of, you know, there's eDISC and discovery and all sorts of things. But essentially what underpins that is the theory that we as humans have are leaning towards one of four different behavioral styles. So this isn't really a personality test. Myers-Briggs is more of a personality test, and that's you in the whole world, in your whole life, sorry. DISC, what I use is for, and the process I use is purely for you in the workplace. So it's about how the environment affects you, and it's related to your natural behavioral style. So I'll use the reporting. If I'm working one-on-one closely with an individual, I'll get them to do their report. It only takes 10 minutes. So I've got an insight into how to motivate them and train them. So I'll understand what works best for them. Stage two of that could be maybe they want to know those results. So I'd actually then interpret the report for them, so they improving their emotional intelligence by understanding what motivates them and what drives them. And then stage three is if we ran reports on a whole team, we can actually look at the team as a whole and go, right, there's potential for some conflict here because we have opposite styles. And that's not a bad thing. The more opposites you have in your workplace, the more discussion you get, the more growth you get, and you challenge each other. It's only a problem when people come together in a workplace and they don't know they have different motivators. And conflict happens just because we go about things differently and we don't know how to name it. And then if it sits for too long, you end up with a workplace that's a little bit toxic. So I find behavioral profiling essential because customers will feel if your staff aren't getting along. And you can also then learn how to read your customers, what profile they might have and how you can adapt your service to suit them.
Yeah, I'd have loved to have known this 10 years ago, although being a reasonably EQ high manager most of the time, not always, I really enjoyed investing a lot of curiosity and energy into the team and their dynamics and making it work. But it was a very active thing. It was something that I really need to put on my leadership list of things to do is to map that and manage it. And I think sometimes in the busyness of small business, some of that stuff slides and there can be pressure to kind of get stuff out the door and get people out the door and get clients in. And it seems such a shame because so many of the private practitioners I know, that is their strong suit. That is just what they're so good at. And I suspect that's why they went into allied health in the first place, that they are so people obsessed and people driven. Yet the leadership and the team management stuff just is...
leaves them cold.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, look, I totally understand that. There's, you know, one of the rules of behavioral profiling is you never say never and you never say always. So what I'm about to say is, you know, just an indicator. But generally we find that S-style behaviours, and S is for people who like stability and they like to make sure that everybody is looked after. So that's just a couple of key indicators of what an S-style is like. Many times people with an S-style profile are drawn to being a nurse, being a teacher, or working in allied health. It's what attracts them to the role is that I can help people. The alternative to that, though, if we look at a DISC profile, the opposite to that is the D-style behaviour, and they're more about getting stuff done. They're very, very task-focused. So in the workplace, they may come across as blunt or arrogant if you don't understand or share their style. So they can make decisions, you know, fire, hire, do all that stuff with what seems like little or no care for people, but it's just the way that they are geared. They're not being difficult. They're different. So, yeah, the S-style strength is all about people and helping people, but it can be difficult then for them to change their behaviour and do the stuff that requires them to just make a decision, do something that could mean people feel a little bit upset, but it's what you need to do to run a successful business.
Yeah, so given these different styles, and that's all that they are, is differences.
Different.
And given the busyness of business, off the top of your head, have you got some sort of tips for how private practice owners can coach their team in terms of EQ and customer service? And I'm just going to back up because what I hear a lot about is that business owners employ primarily on technical skills, or they've got X years experience, or they've done this course or that course, or they've done a research project or what have you. And that is amazing. Oh my gosh, that commitment and self-investment is phenomenal. But it doesn't mean that they're great ambassadors of your company, or that they're absolutely playful and creative and beautiful with a four-year-old on the floor. And so the emphasis is very much, I don't know if you've heard me talk about this, clinical supervision, and I'm doing air quotes again, not at all remotely useful for
That's all right. I've heard you talk about that. Yeah.
I've got to get used to this audio piece. And so there's this emphasis on developing clinical skills, clinical supervision, yet all of that really therapeutic stuff, if you like, and that customer experience and those soft skills, as you would call them, are left somewhat underutilized. So that's something I hear a little bit about, and I'm certain you've got some gold.
Oh, definitely. It's not unusual. To make it even clearer, 0.003% of the people who have completed a DISC assessment in the world since the 1970s when it was introduced, only 0.03% of the population is 100% one style. So everybody has a slight or large identification with the four styles. So what I'm saying is we've all got the ability to adapt. It's about energy. So our S-style people who might be very high in helping people but not so good at actually, you know, getting stuff done, task-orientated, moving through stuff, it doesn't mean they can't do it. It just means they need to focus and use more energy to get it done. So when we look at having a lot of hard skills, which is, you know, which is your therapy and all the things you need to be able to do, your strength is there. It's just going to take more energy for you to consider, okay, so what else can I do? And often this is the mistake that a lot of businesses make, is they think, I'll just get the training provider to come in and train my staff in a session to show them how to provide great service. And quite honestly, that's a waste of money. So it sounds like the great solution. Good, I can't do it. Let's get someone who can do it. The training is great. The Band-Aid isn't going to fix it. And a Band-Aid is one training session. So that's why I've developed the 12-month program. And it's also intended, if possible, to be managed by someone other than the manager of the workplace. It's very difficult to be a business manager, let alone an owner, so you've got all the finance on your shoulders, but you've got to be able to manage a team, lead a team is hard, but to train a team is one too many hats. So I always say, if you're going to create a team of customer service professionals, consider if you've got the skills to do it first. Some people have, but then consider, have you got the time? Because it's not just a simple, let's just, you know, run this session and everything will be fine. It won't work. And the third thing is, if you can get someone in the team who's interested to become a leader, and then you connect with someone like myself who will lead them through a 12-month program. And most of it can be done in 5 minutes a day. It can be done that quickly. The consistency is the key. So I hope that gives a little bit of an insight into, you know, what's required to get this soft skill thing going.
Yeah.
It's just like hard skills, really. You know, you don't learn to drive a car in a three-hour session. If the first time you've ever looked at a car, you're expected to drive it out the road in 3 hours, it's going to be tough. Well, the same with soft skills. It takes a while and it takes commitment, and a 12-month program for a business is what gets everybody going in the same direction.
And that makes sense, because the allied health business owners that I work with have a allied health background. They have a professional degree in occupational therapy, physiotherapy, psychology, speech pathology, music therapy, podiatry, dietetics, and so on. And so that is their absolute passion and comfort zone. And so it's a little bit of, we talk about this quite a bit, it's knowing, you don't even know what you don't know. And I mean, your book fills that gap brilliantly in terms of the really down and dirty, practical, grassroots information, I guess it is, and ideas and concepts that need to be coached and developed. And I guess some examples, I'm just in the middle of writing a presentation that I have to do about marketing for allied health, and it's things about tone of voice and your voicemail, your email signature, how long it takes to answer the phone. You wrote about that one, I remember reading it. Your dress code, the rooms, the parking, there's so many bits and pieces. And I don't think that we always stop and map it and really get it out on the table and have a look at what we need to tweak.
You're dead right, Kathy. I think
say those words again.
Yeah. Well done, Kathy. You are kind of right.
I don't hear them often.
What you'll often hear, though, is, isn't it just common sense? Why should I have to try and teach adults how to be polite and friendly? This is like the number one problem when businesses ring me is, Kate, I've got this staff member, she's really good at her job, but. And the but is usually followed by, they just don't seem to understand how important it is to smile when a customer comes in, or they, you know, why haven't they got common sense? It's something along those lines is what generally people pick up the phone and call me for. And this is what I'm trying to educate businesses with, is don't let training become a solution to a problem. Because then when I turn up to do the training, the attendees actually feel like, well, I'm naughty, and who's this person that's going to come and teach me how to smile? It sounds condescending and there's not a lot of engagement. You put a 12-month program in place where you're just doing a little bit every week, and then the behaviours will change naturally without you needing to, you know, ring me in distress and then try and throw a big solution at it and expect it to change them overnight. So it has to start from the day you induct a new person. You talk service, you implore to them how important it is, and you follow up, follow up, follow up. And literally 5 minutes a day is all you need to put into it. it can be done that quickly, 5 minutes a day.
I guess it's a great topic to add to team meetings as well. And so I guess something that we all fear is complaints and managing complaints and difficult. Also, it's not that customers are difficult. They're just unhappy. They're unhappy.
They just go
they
about
like
things differently.
And that's okay. That happens. And to actually bring those topics to the surface and discuss them and bring them to the table. And it could be that the outcome of that conversation around the table is that you do change some of your policies and procedures and you kind of put in this new idea and, you know, measure it and manage it and then bed it down as well. This is the new way that we do things. So
it's just that you've caught me on thinking of something really important there about that. It's really, really, it sounds overwhelming. Like, I remember when I first started my business and I was overwhelmed. Well, you've got to have this and you've got to have that and you've got to have this and you've got to have that. And I was like, seriously, you know, what do I need all these processes and structures and procedures for? It's just me and one, maybe two other people. Oh, you need it.
You do.
And the sooner that you accept that, the sooner that you accept that, the easier things will get. It really is, you know, just create it once and then all you have to do is perfect it. So you don't have to start with perfect, but do start with something. And service excellence, you know, that has to be at the beginning of someone even interviewing. You need to find out how much experience they've had with dealing with difficult people or different people, what has been their challenges, how did they handle it, and you want to know if they've got a feeling of whether or not they want to embrace the complaint or whether they're scared of complaints and avoid complaints. You want to build a culture of tell us your problems. I mean, that's essentially the business that your tribe are in, is solving problems and making things easier for people. Well, that's exactly the same thing as treating them as customers. Make it easy for them.
Yeah, and have great internal lines of communication that things get moved to the right person and place in the right time to get an outcome, because the solution won't always be just about the customer. It'll also be about the team member as well.
Yeah.
And so you've got layers of level and layers of level, of course. You have layers of solution.
We need wine.
No, we don't, Kate. No, please don't say that. Please don't say that. It's mid-afternoon.
We can't do that.
Kate, I always absolutely adore listening to you, and what I can hear today when we talk is that passion and that fire for what you do.
Yeah,
and
I love it.
I've never asked you this question, but I know. I'm wondering, what are you most proud of about what you've done?
Oh, gosh. Oh, now, see, I'm a true blue Aussie. I don't want to tell you what I'm good at or what I'm proud of, but I will.
Yeah, I wasn't going to expect too much of a hesitation.
Look, what am I proud of? Do you know what? And I hear this a lot from other people too, so it's not unique, but I just love it, and this happens quite a lot. I have people either in tears, good tears, or give me a hug or send me a note or an email, and these are individuals that might have sat in a room when I've talked to 300 people, or it might have been a one-on-one coaching session, but they tell me I'm making a difference for them. So I only need one of those probably every 3 months to remind me why I'm doing what I'm doing. So I have imposter syndrome regularly. I have, you know, all those sorts of fears about am I making a difference, am I doing the right thing? And I'm sure your tribe can relate to this. I do what I do probably for the same reasons that your tribe do what they do. You want to see people smile and you want to make someone's life a little bit easier. So I'm really proud that I've built a business that is able to do that. Yeah.
Nice answer. Yeah, I guess our businesses are quite aligned. And I remember you saying one time that what energized you, and I think you referred to it between the pages, was knowing that people are going to be happy to go to work, that they're going to have the best day possible while they're there, and so that when they come home, they have got love and life and energy for, you know, those after hours and whatever shape the family or the after hours is. And
life's too short, isn't it, not at least have some moments of joy every day.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I've been throwing some questions at you. Have you got any questions for me?
Well, I want to know what you're most proud of. I really liked that question. It was simple, but yet it really does make you kind of reflect. So I'd love to know, what are you proud of, Kathy Love, in your business?
Goodness. Well, I'm going to Interestingly enough, I was asked this question in a slightly roundabout way a couple of weeks ago, and I was talking to someone about the business that I started and grew and sold, and the person said to me, oh, well, your legacy is still in the business. And I was in the car at the time, and you know how your attention is split. I actually took that and said, yeah, it's in the business. But it was only a couple of kilometres later after the call that I'm not always comfortable with this legacy piece, but yeah. That aside, I realised that I hadn't answered correctly in that I hadn't given it time to think about it, and that I really hoped that in the probably thousands of children and families that I've worked with all over the world, that I have made a positive change. I hope it was a good positive change, and that it was as big and as powerful as it needed to be. But I realized that my legacy wasn't in the business that I gave the key over to somebody else, that it was down a level,
yeah.
And that it was down in maybe some of the hearts and minds of the educators I worked with and the other allied health professionals and the other children. And I guess I'm proud of what I built and amazing people that I've had the opportunity to work with. But the impact, that daily life awesomeness that may have happened.
I think it's we hear a lot about, you know, you be your unique self and all these sorts of terms and know your why and all of that. But I like the question that, you know, what are you proud of? And it's okay to be proud of that. And I'm also proud that I'm a work in progress. I just love running my own business. Like, I'm really proud of the fact that I'm still standing up.
Having picked yourself up off the floor several times.
Absolutely.
Like we all have.
Yeah, that's part of it. You test yourself and you just keep going. Yeah, and I think that really tells you if you're doing what you love is if you, you keep doing it.
I agree. From time to time on social media, there is that Japanese proverb. I'm not even sure it's Japanese. Fall down 7 times, get up 8. And I often think of that, because business is a roller coaster. Whether you're a customer excellence coach or an occupational therapist or a business coach, it has its highs and lows, often within an hour, definitely within a day, most certainly within a week and a month and a quarter and a year. So
I guess you need to have
tentacles to hang on to the ride.
Oh, it's every cycle on the washing machine. It's totally every cycle. Like, some days you just, it does feel like you've even gone from the washing machine to the spin dryer. And they're like the days when you just kind of, you're hanging out on the clothesline. They're the days where I just feel I can just blow it all off and start again tomorrow.
Yeah. As an observer, Kate, one thing I completely admire about you is you have very consistent and very strong and determined work and family boundaries. And you've spoken about this. And sometimes when I'm tapping away in the middle of the night, I say to myself, what would Kate be doing? She would not be doing this. How do you do it? And why do you do it?
Yeah. How do I do it? It's a learned behavior through doing it wrong. So when I was working in one of the big four banks, I was consumed by work. And it really brought me undone. And I mentioned a bit of this in the book. And I lost my way. And when I say I lost my way, I lost the boundary totally. So, you know, I was at work at 6 in the morning and I was home at 7. And I was still thinking about what do I need to do to get ready for tomorrow. And it was waking me up at 3 in the morning and blah, blah, blah. And this wasn't being driven by a passion for loving your job. This was driven through, you know, not feeling that I was, you know, doing enough or I could do better. And it was, total spin cycle on the washing machine. So once I got out of there and moved into being a case manager in disability employment, it gave me back perspective, and it showed me very clearly, as we all know, you know, there's always someone that's got it harder than us and there's people that's got it easier than us. What I know is all I've got is what I've got, and I'm not here for a long time. So I had to really just get very structured, and I did really practical things that I was given to do. Like, get in the car, put your key in the ignition, and when you turn on the car, you turn off work.
Yeah.
And that, you know, just something simple like that. And then when I was living in Adelaide and there was more traffic lights than Bendigo, once I got in the car and I got to the first red light, the red light was telling me to stop thinking about work. You're going home now. you know, be the wife or be the girlfriend or be the person you are. That's your role now, and give it as much as you gave at work. But it took conscious effort. It really did take conscious effort. And now, because I have a home business as well, you know, very easy to kind of be up in the office all day and you're actually in your own home and you need to go outside, you need to go for a walk. I need to consciously do things that take me outside of my work zone. So, yeah, it's practice, learn behaviour. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that again. As I was listening, I'm thinking, yeah, I need to revisit some of those routines and those daily habits so I can get quite engrossed in my work and just not even notice the time. And I guess with older kids now, you know, the time markers across the day have completely changed and many of them have even disappeared. And maybe I'll set that as an intention for the next few months and you can hold me a bit accountable on that, that I finish at a half reasonable hour each day. And I guess it also comes back to that working smarter, not longer or not harder, and just really being focused and getting stuff done and valuing yourself enough to not have to work all of the time and that you have other roles that are also awesome.
Well, it's interesting that you brought this up because I sat down, like you, I'm a bit of a list maker. And love my list. I've got a list. Well, I sat down and I was thinking about using the why process to determine, like, at the moment, you know, it's the new resolution, blah, blah, blah. But I just want to take a moment and work out, what do I want to do in 2017? Like, seriously, what do I want to do? And did I have the same expectation last year and why didn't I meet it? And I used, I think it's a Six Sigma process, which is a Japanese way of getting things done more efficiently and saving time and money, is you ask yourself the question why 5 times.
Oh, okay, a why stack.
Is that what it's called? Yeah, so I did that with why aren't I exercising? So I just did the why all the way through and it just really helped me get clear on what I need to do to achieve that goal. And why was it that I was, you know, working all through the day? Well, I kind of love what I'm doing. Well, why do you love what you're doing? Because you're making a difference. Well, why are you making a difference? Well, I just kept going all the way down. It just worked out I wasn't prioritizing myself. And if I'm not healthy, I can't make a difference. And it was just that simple sort of go through the whys and work out what it is you need and flip it around. So it worked out really well for me. I feel much better about it. So I'm back on the treadmill.
As in exercising rather than the rat race, yes.
Yeah, no, I'm on the good treadmill. Yeah.
Amazing. That is just such a brilliant comment to bring to the conversation because I had forgotten about that altogether and my reading in that area is quite dated, if you like. So what I will endeavour to do is put that in the show notes so that there is a web link out for people to follow up because it's really interesting.
And it works, and at the moment it's intended to save money. I think it was Toyota that did it. Was it Toyota? But it certainly saved me time, and quite honestly, I even got to the point, why don't you go to the gym? And I said, it costs too much, I haven't got the time. Well, why don't you use the treadmill? Oh.
Forgot about it. Just walk around it 20 times a day. Gosh.
So, back on it.
So we are at the start of the year. What are big, hairy, audacious plans you got for the year that you're happy to maybe give us some little sneaky hints about?
Well, I'm very excited because this year I'm launching my 12-month service excellence packages. And I've been working on these in the background for probably 6 months now. So I'm a little bit excited. Then they're almost finished. I'll be launching in February. So, and I've actually already sold a couple. So it's always nice to have pre-sales with the intent that these lovely businesses are going to give me a bit of feedback so I can make them bright, shiny and perfect for when I launch. So that'll be coming out and they are a combination of videos, the book, The A to Z of Service Excellence, and on-site training provided by me. So there's a couple of levels of getting into that, but that will be what I'll be focusing on this year, is getting that out there and spreading the joy.
So we're going to find you tarting around on Facebook and LinkedIn and looking gorgeous in your blue jacket.
Thank you. blue's my thing.
Blue's your thing. And I'll provide links to your social media profiles as well. Look, I'm a bit disappointed that in that highlight reel, I did not hear that you'll be presenting at my conference in June, the soon-to-be-named conference for private practitioners.
I just wasn't sure whether we're speaking about that yet, but okay, I'm so proud to announce.
Yeah, go on, make it sound real.
That I'm available. I've knocked back several very, very big opportunities to attend the PEDS Biz. What do you call it? Workshop? Is it? What's it?
It's going to be a conference. It's going to be two days of something. I've got all sorts of people booked.
Excellent.
Anyway, I'm wringing my hands. Perhaps that's the next task I should go and do.
No, I will be there. Anxious. Large in life. I'll bring the book along. I'll bring along an overview of the Service Excellence packages if anyone's interested in hearing more. But I am looking forward to that and sharing probably something like the 7 mistakes you shouldn't make.
Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds nice and practical and easy. Alrighty, well, it sort of feels as though we're coming to a bit of a close on this. We did really well for half an hour.
I know.
Yeah, we blew that miles ago, but that's all gorgeous. Thank you so much, Kate. And
my pleasure.
You're just the most gorgeous, gorgeous, generous guest. What would happen if I gave you the last word?
Ooh.
What would you wish for my tribe?
Oh, what would I wish for your tribe? I want you to remember, tribe, that when you think you're not doing it right, no matter what someone thinks you are.
Ah.
So when you get to that deep, dark place and you think, oh, my God, I can't get out of this mess, or I've got so much to do and it's not going to work, it matters that you're doing it. You'll get there.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All righty. Well, on that note, thank you, Kate Schreck from Lightbulb Training Solutions. There'll be a whole lot of good, juicy links in the show notes that you can follow up about all of Kate's lovely, lovely work. And some of you who come along to the conference will probably be seeing her. So have a gorgeous afternoon, Kate.
I will.
Knock off time. Thank you so much for your time and effort. And we will talk soon.
My pleasure. Thanks, Kathy. Bye.
See you later. Bye.
Big thanks for investing your time right through to the end of this episode of Private Practice Secrets. We hope you enjoyed this episode and all the other strong private practice stories in this, our very first season of Private Practice Secrets. If you're keen for some more private practice business info, we sure can help you out. Head on over to the nakerconsulting.com.au website and you'll find all sorts of bits and pieces there. Blogs, forms, web events, freebies, conferences and more. I'll spell that for you, nacre.com.au. Yeah, a weird name with a really, really cool story. While you're on the website, you are warmly invited to book in for a free 30-minute power coaching session. I really look forward to hearing a bit more about you and your business. And yes, you have full permission to pick my brains. Thanks for listening. I'm Kathy Love, Allied Health Business Coach, and I'm wishing you and your business a brilliant day.